On today's episode of Locked On NHL, the Kraken are on a roll. Will the Colorado Avalanche make the playoffs? And the Edmonton Oilers getting back an important player? All that much more in today's episode of Locked On NHL.
Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to Locked On NHL Western Conference Tuesdays. I am Brett Holden, host of Locked On Oilers, and joined today with Dane Lewis from Locked On Stars. Dane, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Brett. Great time to be a sports fan. NFL playoffs, middle of the NHL season, the division races out west are getting a little bit spicy. A lot of teams vying for the top spot in their respective leagues, and I mean, you can't ask for much more this time of year.
Oh, you're telling me a lot of PlayStation along with a lot of sports wild card, super wild card, I think they called it, giving it a real twist this year. But we're also talking about a little hockey. And as mentioned on today's episode, the Seattle Kraken are rolling. Yes, they did lose to Tampa, but that doesn't matter. They have been on an absolute roll, especially away from home, and they continue that away from home streak tonight against the Oilers. Can they continue that role against a division rival? We will talk about that in just a second. But also on today's episode, the Colorado Avalanche have gotten a couple of wins against some lowly competition, but can they start to roll that into a little bit of a roll here for the Avalanche? And can they make the playoffs? That'll be coming up a little later on. And to wrap up today's episode, an important injury update for the Edmonton Oilers as they're getting an important player back in time for that game against the Seattle Kraken. Can the Oilers also start to come back in their division and jump out of a wild card spot, out of that Alberta rivalry, weirdly, in the wild card region there? Either way, all that much more on today's episode of Locked On NHL. Thank you so much for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you find your podcast. Enough of my yammering about what's on today. The Seattle Kraken have been on a little bit of a trip away from home. Dane, a lot of positives from the Seattle Kraken. Very surprising from the second-year team. What have you seen from the upgrades from last year to this year that have allowed them to be in the position they are now?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it has to do with the way that they're scoring the puck. I mean, I think they have, at least from the looks of NHL.com, the third best goal differential in the Western Conference right now, only behind Winnipeg and Dallas. They're at plus 25. And I think the offense is just performing at a higher level. And it's a lot of the same characters as last year. Jordan Eberle, Jared McCann, Yanni Gourde, they're all playing well. But then you throw in Matty Beniers, who's tied for the team lead in points. I mean, I think he's a shoe-in for the Calder Trophy at this point with 17 goals. And then you have Andre Burakovsky, a guy coming from, you know, the Stanley Cup champion Avalanche. He also has 36 points, 12 goals. I mean, it's just, it seems like a new team, even though it's a lot of the same players as last year. You throw in a few key pieces and you get some solid goaltending from Martin Jones and Philip Grubauer, and it's a recipe for success. And I know you and I both at times have been critical of this team, saying that, you know, it might not last, and it's still, I mean, there's still a lot of hockey left to be played. They might not be able to sustain this level of play, but it's impressive to go out on the road for what, 7 games in a row and win all of those games. And now they find themselves, you know, tightly in a race for the top of the Pacific Division, only 2 points behind the Vegas Golden Knights.
And at the same time, on that trip, hand the Boston Bruins their first loss. Yes. On home ice in regulation. A massive win for them. And in that game, you could really tell how close of a team they were there, and they're very tight in their own end. They go and really execute their game plan. And you mentioned the goal scoring and everything like that. Matty Beniers and Andre Burakovsky, 79th and 81st in the league in points right now, but on top of their team. I think that also shows the distribution of wealth on the Seattle Kraken, shows the buy-in from everybody on that team. The Seattle Kraken, as mentioned, it's going to be a tight race down the stretch here as the Pacific Division. We just mentioned the Edmonton Oilers as well, which we'll talk about later on. But the Pacific Division is getting tight. Vegas up there with 58 points. Seattle with 56. Los Angeles with 56. The Oilers have 51 points and the Flames have 51 points. Tight game, only within 2.5 games of each other, all told between 1 and 5. By the end of the season, will the Seattle Kraken be in a wild card spot, a Pacific Division top spot? Where do you think the Seattle Kraken will end up at the end of the year?
Well, I think it's going to come down to what moves get made at the trade deadline, not just by Seattle, but by the other teams in the division as well. But I think as of right now, the outlook seems to be that they'll be in the top three. And I think there's a possibility that they could even be in the number one spot. Because if you're watching the Vegas Golden Knights, that they're starting to, and it's not really their fault, I guess, but starting to fall back into last season where the injuries start to pile up. And there seems to just be some disconnect in the locker room, the chemistry on the team not seeming too great. I just watched on Monday the Dallas Stars go into Vegas and shut them out 4-0. And so they're, I think, starting to slip up a little bit. The Los Angeles Kings are an explosive offensive team, but some nights they just can't stop the puck from going in their own net. And we've talked about the Alberta teams at length on this podcast. And I know we'll talk about Edmonton a little bit later, but I just don't know if they have what it takes to get into the top three or at least surpass Seattle. So it seems like things are going upwards for them while everyone else is either starting to trend downwards or just is kind of treading water. So I think they will very much find themselves in a top three spot if they're, you know, able to sustain what they've done and maybe, you know, make some additions at the deadline. I'm not really sure what all they could do or what they'd be willing to give up, because you don't really want to, you know, take up too much of this roster apart if things are flowing well and you know, you've won eight in a row, you're 8-2 in your last 10 games. I mean, and especially on the road, looking at their road record, they're actually way better away from Seattle, 16-4-2 on the road as opposed to 10-9-2 at home. So they're doing a lot of things right, and some of the best teams in the league find ways to win on the road. So I think there's no reason to believe that they can't be a top three team in the Pacific come playoff time.
The Vegas Golden Knights have lost 3 of their last 4 games. The LA Kings 5-1 they lost to. They beat the Panthers 4-2, but lost to the Oilers 4-3. And as you mentioned, a 4-0 loss for the Vegas Golden Knights. Speaking of losses for the Vegas Golden Knights, Mark Stone is also going to be injured for a little bit. Well, unsure of the timeline right now for Mark Stone. Shea Theodore also out for the Vegas Golden Knights. Will Carrier also out for the Vegas Golden Knights. So will we potentially see a little bit of a slide for the Vegas Golden Knights here? A little bit of an injury bug as well for the Golden Knights. And speaking of injury bugs, the Colorado Avalanche went through a little bit of an injury bug so far this year. Are they starting to make a little bit of a comeback here, or are they basically packing up for the season here? We will talk about that in just a second. But first, today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. From pro football to college basketball season is going on here. The NBA is going on. We mentioned the NFL wildcard, and I'm wearing my Manchester United. They won the Manchester Derby this weekend. Who would have thought? A lot of exciting action in the Premier League as well. They've got it all at BetOnline. Plus, if you love sports podcasts, which if you're listening to us today, you probably already do, you can find those at BetOnline as well. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. Dane, we talked about a little bit of the Central Division teams around the Colorado Avalanche, as the St. Louis Blues and the Nashville Predators have had a little bit of a run as of late. But one team that's been kind of straggling along as of late, is the Colorado Avalanche. A lot of injuries to them. They have had a couple of interesting wins against the Ottawa Senators, one of them being the Ottawa Senators, the other one coming up against the Detroit Red Wings last night, excuse me, a 6-3 win there. Are they starting to turn things around this season? Will they start to join the St. Louis Blues and the Nashville Predators in the race down the stretch, or are these injuries going to catch up to them and the man games lost going to catch up to them?
Yeah, it's a tricky question, and you're right. I mean, I feel like we've done a lot of talk about the Blues and Predators who are either tied with or sitting right behind Colorado, but I mean, you look at this team that won the Stanley Cup last year, and they, of course, lose some key players in the offseason. Andrei Burakovsky goes to Seattle. Nazem Kadri goes to Calgary, but they still have some of their most valuable pieces. And Mikko Rantanen, Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar, those are the top three guys in points scored. But like you said, similar to Vegas, they're just experiencing a lot of injuries right now, and they're just seeming to be prolonged for the Avalanche. And they'll find ways to win games every now and then. That game against the Senators, 7-0. And I think even with injuries, that Colorado team, it is leagues better than what the Ottawa Senators are this year. But it's tricky, because I think what a lot of people didn't expect in this Central Division was for the Winnipeg Jets to be as good as they are. I think there was an expectation that even if Colorado did have a little bit of a, you know, a championship slump or whatever you want to call it after you win the title, that they could probably still compete for a top three spot. And they still very well could. 47 points, for fourth in the Central Division, Minnesota sitting at 52. So they're absolutely not out of the hunt, but you just throw in this fifth team and Winnipeg, or yeah, fifth team, and then you have St. Louis and Nashville who are hanging around too. And it just makes it really difficult. And they've kind of put themselves behind the eight ball here. And I say they put themselves there. Again, you can't really control players getting injured or players missing time. Their captain, Gabriel Landeskog, has yet to play a game this season. And I think there's immense value that he provides when he's on the ice. And even, you know, even off the ice, when he's just able to be a part of the locker room, and I'm sure he's still around the guys and doing what he can, but it's just not the same as when you don't have your captain out there playing alongside his guys. It just provides a whole new dynamic to the team. So it's tricky. I think that they very well could make the postseason. And if they get healthy and they get to be, you know, the fullest versions of themselves, they're going to be that team that even if they're not the highest seed, you don't want to match up against them in the postseason just because of the talent that they have and now the experience that they have. A lot of their best players didn't have a ton of postseason experience, but now some of these guys have been there. They've won the title. They know what it takes to win in the postseason. And I think that they provide a pretty terrifying matchup for anyone who would have to play them in the postseason if they're fully healthy.
The leaders have been there. The coaches have been there. The goaltender has been there. Even Georgiev, who was on the New York Rangers last season, who had a good playoff run last year as well, he's been there too. So, yes, if they do end up making the playoffs, it would be a team who would be scary. I'm sure by the time then, they would have a fully healthy team, barring any injuries heading into the playoffs. But Gabriel Landeskog, as mentioned, is out. Bowen Byram, who is a fantastic young defenseman, especially showed in the playoffs what he can show in the NHL, has had some injury issues in his career, but he's a very good young defenseman. Darren Helm has been an important player in their bottom six. Valerie Nichushkin, who at the start of the year was having a fantastic year as well. Josh Manson. So all over the place, they've had injuries. And Pavel Francouz is also coming back from an injury as well. So if they get healthy and do make the playoffs, I think they will be a scary team. But again, it's a matter of if they do make the playoffs. The Predators have been starting to come back a little bit. The Blues as well have started to gain traction here. And I mean, when you lose to the Chicago Blackhawks, yes, teams have lost to the Chicago Blackhawks much better than the Colorado Avalanche, excuse me. But you start to waver a little bit. You get a big win in Ottawa, and you get a big win against the Detroit Red Wings, excuse me. No game is easy, especially in the NHL, and everybody has to play everybody. But is this a little bit of a faux pas win or run here for Colorado, do you think? Because they do have some relatively difficult teams coming up too. The Calgary Flames, who are in a playoff spot, in that playoff battle with them, won't give them an inch of space either. That's going to be a tough game to play against them. The Vancouver Canucks, we don't really know much about them. Sometimes they can come out and be a tough team to play against. Other times they blow 3-0 leads in the first period and give up 5 unanswered goals. The Kraken, who's on a run, the Capitals, who are a good team. So is this a faux pas win or stretch of games here for the Colorado Avalanche, or should we be really paying attention to the Avalanche down the stretch? What do you think here?
I think they're worth keeping an eye on, and I think that we're going to learn a lot about this team to close out the month. I had the schedule pulled up as well, and then right after all those tough teams, they get the Ducks at home, they get the Blues at home, so there's definitely some winnable matchups here over this stretch, and I think if they can string together a few wins and go on a little bit of a run, maybe like what we saw Seattle just get done with, I mean, it doesn't take very much. It could take one good week for them to get really, truly back in the mix of things, and also it could just take, you know, another team slipping up or, you know, making a few mistakes, whether that be Minnesota, Dallas, Winnipeg. I mean, I certainly think that they're worth keeping an eye on, and it would be, I think, foolish of us in the NHL community in general to just cast them to the wayside and, you know, and think that they're done or can't compete, can't contend, because, you know, similar to Seattle, they could very well go out and make some moves at the deadline. I know that even just monitoring what the guys over at Locked On Avalanche talk about, they see the names like Bo Horvat, they see Patrick Kane, who I know trade talks have winded down a little bit with him with, you know, his diminished numbers and not playing as much this season, but they very much could go out and add just some really great pieces at the deadline like they did last year. Arturi Lehkonen, Evan Rodriguez. I mean, they just bolstered the roster last year at the deadline, but also going into this year. And I think they have a front office that is always looking to upgrade the team where necessary. So they're definitely worth keeping an eye on. And I mean, who knows how they'll do over this stretch. I think we're going to learn a lot about them as they compete against some other really good teams like the Kraken, the Capitals. And you could throw the Flames in there as well. They are in a playoff spot and, you know, can still be a very dangerous team. Of course, they're also playing that game in Calgary, so never easy to just waltz into the Saddle Dome and come out with the win.
Hey, and the thing about the St. Louis Blues just played against the Calgary Flames recently, a 4-1 loss to the St. Louis Blues. Excuse me, I am all over the place. I meant to say they recently played the Ottawa Senators a 2-1 win, and then they also played against the Calgary Flames recently. 4-1 win for the Flames over them in St. Louis, and then they also beat them 4-3 as well the previous game. So a little bit of a measuring stick for these two teams potentially, especially with a 7-0 win for the Avalanche there. But no, you bring up a good point as well with the trade deadline coming up. Bo Horvat, a lot of interesting names that they can add. Can they start to take advantage of the LTIR potentially? I've heard that thrown around, whether that's merited or not, but there are ways to move around. The Colorado Avalanche are going to make a big move either way. How much will that help? And like you mentioned, don't want to be that person who ends up in a montage going, oh, well, the Colorado Avalanche, they're done for the season. They make the playoffs, you're done for. So, I 100% agree. Very, very interesting race down the stretch here for the Central Division too. I mean, I was doing our power rankings for all of the divisions for Locked On, and I was doing the Central and the Pacific, and they're not exactly how the standings sort out in the Western Conference. You go to the Eastern Conference, you're like, this is boring. It's exactly how you expect it. The West and the Pacific and the Central, not at all. Such exciting races down the stretch here. We're going to talk about another race here, and that is the wild card spot and the Pacific Division once again with the Edmonton Oilers, as they are getting a very important player back tonight, it sounds like, against the Seattle Kraken. And could he be a major help to the Edmonton Oilers to help with their playoff push? We will talk about that in just a second. But first, today's episode is brought to you by Athletic Greens. Our next partner has a product I use literally every day. I started using AG1 because I wanted to better my gut health, optimize my immune system, and I didn't want to take so many pills, to just supplement pills specifically, like a million of them, to make my body feel good and right for the day. So what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients helps with your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, aging, all of the things. All of the things. All of the things that I just mentioned there, Nane. They are helped with AG1. It's a lot. It's genuinely a lot. Plus, it's also lifestyle friendly too. Whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, gluten-free, it all contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals, no artificial anything, all while still tasting great. Plus, it costs less than $3 a day. You are investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew addiction. Yes, I know, because I am there as well. I'm always at that one certain coffee shop. I don't think I can mention it, but I'm always there getting my coffee. Plus, Athletic Greens is recommended by professional athletes and has over 7,000 five-star reviews. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That is it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is head to athleticgreens.com/NHL network. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/NHL network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Speaking of a very big addition, I guess, to the Edmonton Oilers, and a very big addition to the health of the Edmonton Oilers, and that is Evander Kane is coming back to the Edmonton Oilers. At least it is being reported, as he has jumped the final hurdle into being cleared for tonight's game against the Seattle Kraken. It sounds like Kyler Yamamoto and Ryan Murray are destined to head to the LTIR, still weeks away from being ready for them. The Edmonton Oilers are getting a very important 5-on-5 player for them. Now, Dane, do you think it's a little early for Evander Kane to make this return? Maybe we'll start with that first. He was slated to be out for about 3 to 4 months. It would be now about 2.5 months that he comes back to today. Do you think it's a little early for Evander Kane to be coming back?
I think there's an argument to be made, especially with an injury as severe as his and as scary as the one that he experienced. I mean, you just don't see people get cut with skates like that very often. And so I think that there is something to be said, though, of, I mean, he's going to know himself better than anyone else as far as his body and what he can handle. And I have to imagine that he's been, you know, monitored closely, and that he and the Oilers in general are seeking the advice of, you know, professionals that have his best interest in mind. But we also know that the NHL is just full of athletes that will put, you know, hockey and the team and the game before their own well-being. And so, as much as I want to believe that the correct precautions have been taken and that he's fully ready to go, I know in the back of my head there's that thought of, is he actually, could something bad happen? But I mean, it could have also just been, you know, an extreme injury, and they throw out 3 to 4 months just to be safe. And maybe he truly is ready to go and can play at a high level. And I'm sure we'll learn tonight as the game, you know, goes on against the Kraken. I'm curious to see how he looks, how he performs. But I mean, if he is fully healthy, I think it's pretty impressive that he's getting back into it this soon. And I know the Oilers, I'm sure, are excited to have him back there, back out there on the ice, because he was one of the better players on the team before he went down.
Well, the first thing I'll mention is the Edmonton Oilers do have a tough history when it comes to wrist injuries. As of recently, Dylan Holloway, who had a little bit of a couple of setbacks during his wrist injury, wherever that hit the snag, that's not for me to decide. The Kyler Yamamoto also coming into his career, he had a wrist injury that had a couple of setbacks as well. Sheldon Surrey, we can even date this back to a tough wrist injury as well that almost ended his NHL career too. So wrist injuries tend to concern me when it comes to the Edmonton Oilers, especially one as serious as this. So hopefully he is getting the proper care and advice as well. What I will go back to is, first of all, where he will be skating. It sounds like the Edmonton Oilers have been having a lot of success again with the 11-7. Vincent Desharnais has been a fantastic add for the Edmonton Oilers over the last couple of games. So it sounds like they may go with that, especially the Yamamoto out. So here's what it sounds like the Oilers' lines may be against Seattle. Leon Draisaitl with Connor McDavid and Zach Hyman loading up the top line. Evander Kane skated alongside Ryan McLeod and Warren Fogle. That'll probably be the third line, because the real third line of Klim Kostin, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and Matthias Janmark have been fantastic together. And then Dylan Holloway and Jesse Puljujärvi will be the two basically players who will play with either Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, or Ryan McLeod, whatever the situation may bear. That sounds good to me, and that makes me feel like he won't be overplayed. You don't want to put him on the first line and play him 20 minutes immediately. But you mentioned as well, he's an important player for the Edmonton Oilers at 5-on-5, because he has been one of the Edmonton Oilers' best players at 5-on-5, not only in their own end, but also defensively. One of my favorite stats, or advanced stats, again, I'm not a Jay Fresh whatever thing. I talk about that often. But my favorite stat is the goals against and goals for per 60 minutes. And goals against per 60 minutes for Evander Kane so far this year, he has been in the top three at both 5-on-5 and in all situations. So especially for a team who has struggled in their own end, I think the addition of Vincent Desharnais again has been very important, because he's very communicative on the ice. And for a team who isn't very organized in their own end, they need somebody to go, hey, somebody's coming up the wing around the net. Hey, watch him over here. You need somebody who kind of quarterbacks your own defensive play. That's very nice to see, kind of like a linebacker in the NFL. So, I think that'll help the Edmonton Oilers in their own end. And I think especially for a team who has no problem scoring, the Edmonton Oilers might be going on a run here along with the Seattle Kraken. This may be a very important game for the Pacific Division. Could we see, do you think with the addition of Evander Kane, the Edmonton Oilers, I'm sure, are going to add, I'm not sure, I know the Edmonton Oilers are going to add a defenseman at some point this year. Do you think if the Edmonton Oilers add the right defenseman and Evander Kane can get to playing the type of hockey we know he can play, think the Edmonton Oilers can get out of a wild card spot and potentially slide into that top three?
I think it's possible for sure, especially with, you know, we talked about Vegas maybe falling off a little bit, and Los Angeles seems to be a little bit of a wild card as well. You never know what you're going to get from them night in and night out. So if the Oilers can get a little bit more consistency, you know, with their depth scoring and of course adding a defenseman, especially a quality defenseman, I think would work wonders for this roster. And I mean, we were talking about this before. I mean, you have, you know, people say all the time, I think passively, oh, Connor McDavid's the best player in the world, oh, best player on the planet, best player in the league. But he literally is that. This, like, there's no argument. He has 83 points and the next player behind him has 68 in Leon Draisaitl. So as long as those two guys are, you know, manning the ship and everyone else falls in place behind them, and I think that they're going to be just fine. I know it's not looking great at the moment, although they are in a playoff spot. But if things continue to trend in the same direction that they have been in the Pacific Division, I think they could very well get a top three spot in this division. And of course, like you said, tonight's game against Seattle going to reveal a lot about where these teams are at. And it should be, I think, a really good game and one of the better games of the night.
Honestly. And you mentioned Connor McDavid. I saw a comment recently saying Connor McDavid is not the best player in the world. I just don't understand how. But they said, they tried to back it up with saying that Connor McDavid is not the best player in the world because he can't play in his own end. They specifically mentioned the Los Angeles Kings game where the Edmonton Oilers were severely outplayed, lost 6-3, a generous 6-3, may I add. And he was on for 4 or 5 of them. Fair enough. Sure, you can mention the game beforehand. But Connor McDavid has been playing on the Edmonton Oilers penalty kill as of late. And Connor McDavid has an average of, or actually has played 54 minutes and 51 seconds on the penalty kill and averages a minute 13 on the penalty kill as well. That sounds like a pretty well-rounded forward to me, if you ask me, and also somebody who kind of is pretty good at getting the puck away from the other player. I don't know if you ever seen that name where he strips the player on.
Oh yeah,
beats me. Yeah, a pretty decent little hockey player there. Either way, let's wrap it up there today, folks. As mentioned, talked a lot about the Seattle Kraken. Make sure you head over to Locked On Kraken as Erica does a fantastic job with the Kraken over there. Also, we mentioned the Colorado Avalanche. Will they make the playoffs? I was following alongside Locked On Avalanche with Chris and Shaggy Von Doom as well. I was following their Twitter page during some of their games, and they are not too pumped as well, but either way, it's going to be a fun season down the stretch here. Dane, where can the people find you?
Yeah, they can find me on Twitter at Dane_Lewis. Just a warning, if the Dallas Cowboys keep winning playoff games, I'll be insufferable, but follow at your own discretion. But I'll also tweet about the Dallas Stars as well. You can also find Locked On Stars on social media. Just type in the podcast name and also find the show on YouTube or your favorite podcasting platform. Wherever you're listening to this show, you can probably find Locked On Stars there as well.
Yeah, Tim McGraw. And you can find me as well at The Real Holden 40. That's on Twitter, Instagram. I'm pretty sure my Elite Prospects page is also that as well. But you don't care about me. You care about the Edmonton Oilers, and you can find Locked On Oilers at Locked On Oilers on Twitter, exactly how it sounds. I lucked up over there. And speaking of over there, you can find Locked On Oilers on YouTube over there as well. If you haven't subscribed yet, what are you doing? We have a lot of fun over here. Let's wrap it up there, folks. Thank you so much for making Locked On NHL your first listen today. Hopefully, we will see you next week. Until then, stay safe.